Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Thank you so much. Amen. Father, please bless our time now that we look into your word. I pray you'll speak to our hearts, give us what we need. I pray, Lord, that if there's one here today who does not know you as Savior, that you'd save them today. They'd see their need. They'd see your love. And, Lord, they'd trust you. They'd be saved. And I pray for Christians that you'll speak to our hearts, give us what we need, and just work in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for the message in the music. And use it now as we look at your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible, of course, has many commandments. God tells us many things that we are to do. The fact of the matter is we cannot keep all of God's commandments. The Bible says the law of the Lord's perfect. It is perfect, but we are not. And anyone who says that they're going to get to heaven by keeping all the commandments, they're wrong, because it's not possible. They will not get to heaven keeping all the commandments. And so God gives us a choice, and that choice is to trust his Son as our Savior, who paid the price so we could be saved and go to heaven. And so there we make a choice whether to be saved or not. God doesn't send anyone to hell. A person chooses. They make a choice, and God has provided a way for everyone to go to heaven. And but then after we're saved, God tells us to do a lot of things. He tells us we are to come to church. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we're supposed to come to church. He tells us immediately after we get saved, get baptized. We're supposed to get baptized right after we get saved. We're supposed to tithe. We're supposed to start giving our tithe, our 10% to the Lord. That's in the scripture, very, very clear. And really, we're supposed to give over and above our tithe to the Lord. And he tells us to do that. But it's very interesting. There are many other things, you know, that God tells us to do. But it's very interesting when it comes to serving God. Serving. It seems that, and I realize he tells us to, by the way, you say, well, I thought I was serving God by coming to church. No, you're getting fed so you can serve God. I thought I was serving by telling folks about Jesus. No, that's what every Christian is supposed to do anyway. That's part of what God tells us to do. But then there's the opportunity to serve. And it's interesting that God, it doesn't indicate, I mean, he gives, certainly there are many, many examples of serving him and many different scriptures about serving God and all of that, but it seems like it comes down to, you have a choice. You have a choice. You choose whether you serve or not. And I want to talk to you about that this morning, a servant by choice. And we have a great picture of that here in the Old Testament. You know, you get into the book of Exodus, and I realize the first part of Exodus, there's some things that, it starts getting a little difficult, but then you get toward the middle and toward the end and the tabernacle and everything. But tucked here in the middle is this idea. We have the commandments, the Ten Commandments, of course, in chapter 20, and, thou shalt not, all of these different things. And then God, we get this little story and this illustration of what happened in the Old Testament, that a servant serves for 6 years, and in the seventh year, he goes out free. But if he chooses, he can be a servant for life. And literally, they would bring all the judges together, and they would stand at the door of the house. And literally, he would put his ear up to the doorpost. They would take an awl, and they would put a hole in his ear. And that was an indication that that person had chosen to serve for life. And that's what God's looking for. Now, I'm not telling you go out and pierce your ears, fellas. I'm saying God's looking for some folks who choose to serve. It's interesting. A young person will, I'll hear parents tell them, now, go take this up to the nursery, or go wipe these windows, or go do I have to? And the truth of the matter is, when you're a child, there are a lot of things you have to do. You know, your parents make you do. And there are a lot of things that maybe a teenager, you have to, okay, you're going to serve. And you're going to smile while you do it, you know. But you know what we're really after? We're really after people that say, I want to serve God. I really want to serve God. I don't want to leave you, God. I don't want to be away from you, God. I don't want to be out of your will, God. I really want you to serve. That's what Berean Baptist Academy is all about. Honestly, we're trying to train servants. But not teach them, not only teach them how to serve God, but get their hearts where they want to serve God. You know what's frustrating is anybody who is serving in any ministry of our church, and you say, well, somebody has to do it. You know, and your heart's not really in it, and you don't really want to do it. I want to show you some things, because this passage really gives us a difference between being a servant and being a servant by choice. There are two different things. If you're saved, of course, you have the potential to serve God. You're in a position where you can serve God. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, my Bible says you're an enemy of God. And you may be religious, you may be, you know, you may go to church, you may know a lot of Bible. But you need to be born again, the Bible says. You need to be a Christian. And when somebody gets saved, they have the potential. And so I'll start off with some of those things. And as we look at this passage, and just, I really have just two points this morning. And the first one is this, what God does. What God does. And it tells us very clearly here, the things that God does. The first thing I see here is the purchase. In verse 2, it says, if thou buy an Hebrew servant. Buy an Hebrew servant. Here's a Hebrew servant who could do nothing for themselves. They were purchased as slaves. They were helpless. They were hopeless. They had nothing. They had no future, no plan, nothing. They literally were put on an auction block and they were sold as a slave. And you know, I think of that and I think immediately of myself. I think of those who are lost. I think of someone who is lost and they're on their way to hell. And their life is helpless. It is hopeless. You cannot do anything in and of yourself. I knew that I could do nothing of myself to save me. I knew that I had no way, no skill that could get me to heaven. I knew what I was. And I realized that the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And recognized that that's all I was a lost sinner. And literally, I'm on the auction block, amen? And God says, I'll send my son to die for you. I'll send my son to pay the price. I'll send Jesus to live a perfect life so that he can be the perfect sacrifice for your sins. God says, I'll provide the sacrifice so that you can be saved and go to heaven. And literally, as I stand on the auction block, I'm sure Satan put in his bids. But God said, I'll buy him. I'll buy him. I'll buy him. I remember we, down in Louisiana, we wanted the kids to have a dog. And we went to, somebody was advertising, we've always liked German Shepherds. Somebody was advertising German Shepherds, and we went. It seems like it was out in the country somewhere in kind of a unique area. And we took the kids, and we looked at this litter of German Shepherd puppies. And we were looking at these little puppies, and they're always so cute, you know, chasing their tail and chasing each other's. I knew you'd like that. And you know, and it was all cute. But there was this one that was, he was kind of the runt. And it was obvious. I mean, you know, a couple of them were, you know, they were just really good-looking German Shepherd puppies. And I think they have them open their mouth and everything. You know, they say, this is good. And I don't know if it's good or not. But anyway, and they're telling us all this stuff. But this one just kept, you know, you could just tell. You know, not that he was deformed or anything. He just was smaller and not as active. And just, you could tell. And so I looked at the kids. And I said, okay, kids, you know what? Which one do you want? And of course, David was quite, you know, he was older and he said immediately, there was no hesitation. He said, I want that one. And it was that runt thing. I'm going, really? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, that's the one, Dad. I said, why in the world do you want that? You know, cause I'm thinking we'll breed these things. They'll be, you know, make us millions of dollars and all that. But, anyway, so he says, no, he said, that's the one. And of course, my wife, she's going along with everything too. And I said, Dave, why do you want that one? He said, because nobody else will. And you know, and that was Scout, and we had Scout for many, many years, and he became just a very, very good dog for us. But you know, I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, that's me. That's Jesus said, I love you. He said, I want to save you. And you are lost and you are on your way to hell. But you know what? I want you. Have you ever thought about, I mean, He wants us. One of the greatest things that we have as we go out and we give the gospel to people around us is, hey, listen, God loves you. Because I guarantee many in this whole world don't feel like they're loved by anyone. You know, some of them, they're really not. But I got news for you. God loves them. God loves that fella that's still laying in his vomit in an alley somewhere on a street corner. God loves that drug user and that drug addicted person and that prostitute on the street. And God loves all the folks. And God loves me. And God loves you. You know, the purchase, He bought us. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid the way for us to go to heaven. Real quick, 1 Peter 1, verse 18. Just read it the other day. I don't know if you could read it too much. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The great price paid for my redemption, for your redemption, if you're a Christian today, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why nobody should ever be bored when we have the Lord's Supper. Nobody should ever frown when you sing about the blood. Why? Because the blood was the price paid so that I could be saved. That's why don't remove the blood. There's all kinds of churches today and denominations that are wanting to get rid of the blood. It's offending people. It doesn't offend me. It doesn't offend. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. And it was the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ that is the atonement, that is the covering, that blots out my sin. So when I stand at the gate, why should we let you in? The blood of Jesus, that's why. The blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to really have to say anything because my advocate will be there to represent me. And that's Jesus. He's my defense attorney. And all he has to do is just show his hands. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The purchase. But then the second thing that I see as far as what God does is there's a purpose. And it says in verse 2, "If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve." If thou buy, the purchase was made, he shall serve. He shall serve. I mean, God bought me. Certainly, he could have just taken me to heaven at the age of 17. God bought you, and when you called upon Him to save you, He could have taken you to heaven. Like that. Any of us. In fact, as a young Christian, I remember wondering about that very thing. Why didn't God just take me to heaven? Especially as I would fail. Especially as I would stumble. Especially as I would mess up. I would sometimes think, you know, God, you should have just taken me to heaven. And I wouldn't have got anybody's way. But He didn't take us to heaven, did He? No, He bought us to serve. He bought us because He has something for us to do. Now, you know, some folks, that bothers them because I don't want to do anything. Some folks look at it and say, wow, I can serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I can serve my Heavenly Father. I get to serve God. Yeah. There's a purpose to serve. Romans 12 says it's our reasonable service. Why? Because He bought us. Paid for us. That's reasonable. You go to the store and you buy something and you want it to work. Amen? You go to the car lot, you buy a car, you want that thing when you go out and start it up, you want it to start up. You want your little doohickeys remote control thing when you are inside and there's a raging blizzard outside and you want to have that car nice and warm by the time you get out there, you push those buttons right, you want that thing to start, amen? You don't want to hear a click. You want to hear a rum. And you want to get in that car and it's all the ice and snow's melted off your car because you let it run for a long, long time to get it hot. That's what you want to do. Why? Well, I bought it. That's what it's supposed to do. You want that oven to work, amen? You want that mower to work. You want that gun to work. I'm trying to reach everyone here. I mean, you bought it. Used your money. You paid for it. God used something more precious than our money ever is. God used something more expensive than any checking account you've ever had. God used the blood of Jesus to buy us. And you know what? The purpose is to serve. To serve. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. So much of this ties in with my Sunday school lesson. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Look what service does when we serve God. Now, I'll be honest with you. Have you ever thought about this? God's God. God can do anything, right? I mean, seriously, God could watch all the kids back in the nursery, couldn't he? He could. I mean, he could take care of the 2 and 3 year olds. Even God, even 2 and 3 year olds, really. God could. God could have the 4 and 5 year old department right now. God could be taking care of everything they need right in there. You say, I don't know about that, bro. Oh, yeah, come on, seriously. Michael and Gabriel? Gabriel's blowing his horn, Michael's leading. I mean, the kids are having a great time, amen? Could God do that? Hey, you know what? God could drive our buses. He could have all that taken care of, amen? I mean, could you imagine our bus routes being run by angels? Instead, it's run by, no. But, that was just too obvious. But I'm just saying, God could do that, couldn't he? Of course he could. I mean, honestly, God could have played the piano today. God could have played the organ. God could have made all those sounds take place without anybody doing it. God could have had a heavenly angelic choir singing instead of our choir. He could have done that. I mean, in anything, any area of service that we have, God could do it. No question about that. But look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. I love this. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Isn't that good? What's that mean? That means that if you work nursery, that's glorifying God. I mean, God could have done it. God could have had angels do anything that you and I do. But if I do it, if you do it, then it glorifies God. Why? Because we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And it glorifies God because God says, there's my child. Look at my child. They once were lost. Now they're serving me. Look at my child. They were pretty dirty. Now they're clean and serving me. And it gives God glory. But look at Romans 6 and verse 18. Romans 6, 18. It says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. If we would serve God like we serve sin, everything would be done, wouldn't it? I mean, if we had the zeal, come on, I remember some of my sinful zeal. Do you remember any of yours? All right. Well, maybe you're better off not remembering it. But I know I was a very zealous sinner. Shouldn't I be a zealous Christian? Yeah. See, there's the purchase, there's the purpose, and then go back to verse 2. It says, if thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. There's the purchase, the purpose, and then there's the pardon. Now, I want you to understand something, folks. That servant probably did a good job as a servant. That servant, I'm sure his master, when he told him, I need you to go plow up that field. I need you to take care of this. I need you to clean this. Or I need you to work over here in this field. That servant, I'm sure he did a good job. And I'm sure he was obedient. But there's nothing like someone who is doing it because they choose to do it. You know that. Any parent here knows that. I mean, we appreciate, you know, Poindexter, I need you to go mow the grass. And he goes, you know, the rolling of the eyes has always been. And you know, he's out there mowing, and the whole time, he's just not happy. Cecilia, I need you to wash the dishes. She said, and you hear her in there washing dishes, and sometimes there's this loud as it's getting put. And you're thinking, she's going to break my dish and she's going to be dead meat. You know, and it's just not. How about this, though? And we all know, because any parent knows. Throckmorton, I need you to go mow the grass. Yes, Father. Now, once you've been picked up off the ground from fainting. You see what I'm saying? There is a huge difference. Or how about this? Dad, can I go mow the grass? Mom, can I go wash the dishes? Mother, do you care if I vacuum? Boy, there is a difference, isn't there?
Amen.
There's a huge difference. Now, understand, God can twist our arm to get a lot of things done. God can chasten us to get a lot of things done. God can all those things. But you know what God wants? God likes it when he says, son, I need you to do this. And you say, I was just waiting. I was just waiting on you to ask. Or here am I, send me. Who will go? Here am I. Send me. That's what God's looking for. He can make us all go. He can make you go, but who will go? Here am I. Send me. I sought for a man to stand in the gap. Well, who will stand? Well, I'd love to stand in the gap for you, Lord. I know it's windy there. I know it's stormy there. I know there's a lion out there and maybe a tiger out there. And I know there's things out there that are dangerous. But I'll stand in the gap, Lord, because I just want to serve you. And God loves to hear that. God loves to hear that. The pardon set free. Look, if you will, at Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You're going to find rest by working. You're going to find rest by serving. Why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because I'm yoked up with Jesus. He does the work. I just said, Lord, put the yoke on me. I'm willing. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We're free. Free. Amen. If Christ makes you free, you are free indeed. When the judge says you're not guilty, you're nuts if you stay in jail. No, I just want to stay here. I mean, come on. You're free. Anyone who's trusted Christ is bought to serve, and you're free. God does not force us to serve. We are not slaves. We're free. We're free. I'll tell you who forces you to serve him. That's the devil. You who are here this morning and you're addicted to some kind of a thing that is hurting you or that is sinful or whatever, and you've got an addiction, hey, the devil, he knows how to put the chains on. And he is making you serve. And he is telling you what to do. I used to talk to folks that smoke. And I would say to them, now, in the morning, do you decide whether you smoke or not? And they say, oh, no, I just automatically light up. Yeah, because that little cigarette's telling them what to do and how to live their life. Why? Because they're not free. I'm going to tell you, people say, well, you Christians, you know, you're slaves. Well, no, we're not the slaves. You're the slave. You're the slave to the world. You're the slave to the flesh. You're the slave to the devil. Not the Christian. The Christian's set free. God does not force us, however, to serve him. We're not slaves. We make a choice. It's sad how so many Christians act like they're still bound. You're free. You're free. And that's what God has done for us. The purchase, the purpose, and the pardon. We are free. Number two, what we should do. And that's what this person did here. And what a blessing. You know, what God has done, what we should do. First of all, we should choose to serve. The Bible says in verse 4, if his master have given him a wife, she bore him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. So I want to serve. I want to serve. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. Let me serve. By the way, if you really do love your master, and you really do love your spouse, and you really do love your children, that's what you ought to say. I just want to serve you, God. Boy, that's good. He had a will. And he willed to stay and serve his master. That was his choice. Nobody made him. Nobody twisted his arm around it. Oh, you say, yeah, but I mean, he loved his wife. And he loved, amen. Amen, fellas. If you love your family, you'll serve God. And you'll serve God together. Amen. Oh, so many people today, and this is one of our problems, our wills. It just affects us. Well, here's what I want. Okay, listen. This man said, okay, I want to please God. We are so set on pleasing ourselves. That's why we're in trouble today. That's why there's so many people addicted to things today. That's why there's so many in jail today. I mean, here's what I want for me. You know, the difference is this man said, I will and I choose to serve God. And you know what? God gave him the freedom to make that choice. A lost person has no choice. You know, lost person says, well, I'm doing my own thing. No, you're not. You're doing the devil's thing. I remember after I got saved, I remember recognizing and finally coming to that place in my life where I realized whose thing I was really doing. Before I got saved, I remember thinking about some of the foolish things we used to say that are being said today and have been said for, you know, since the beginning of time. You know, well, what about my rights? And what about, I'm just doing my own thing and I'm not going to be like everybody else. And yet, we were just like everybody else. Come on, I had an army jacket and so did everybody else. I had a psychedelic shirt, so did everybody else. I said groovy, and so did everybody else. That's not freedom. Freedom is what you have in Jesus, where you don't have to do what everybody else does. Amen. And while many of my friends were going off and trying drugs and everything, I had Jesus in my heart, and I said, I choose not to do that. But they didn't have much choice, because they were following a different master. He says, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. But wait a minute, it's still a choice. Where's the choice? Choose to love him. That's where the choice is. Let me show you. 1 John 5. Keep your place in Exodus. We're getting real close to the end here. Kind of disappointed. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. There is such a huge difference in somebody that loves God and obeys God because they love Him and somebody who obeys because they have to. Huge difference. It's like the illustration I gave a while ago that we've experienced with our children. It's a huge difference. You know, as I preach to young people, and boy, you can tell that hard look that sometimes you get, like, I am not going to obey. You don't love God. Because He says that if you love Him, His commandments are not grievous. I still remember growing in the Lord from my hippie days and my rock and roll group that I was in and all of that, and growing in the Lord and just my lifestyle, and God was taking that away from me. But you know what? Nobody forced me to go to an altar. I still remember altar call after altar call, and my heart was thumping like crazy, and my palms were all sweaty, and God was saying, you need to pray about that. You need to get that right. And I mean, honestly, I remember so clearly God working in my life, and I made those decisions, and I didn't have an arm behind, you know, twisted back here. There was no choke hold around my neck. Why? Because I love Him. I love Him. And if we love Him, it's easy to choose Him and to choose His way. It's an attitude. If all you want is to please yourself, then you don't love Him. I mean, the battle, it rages, and that's true, because we are us. Write that down. That's a great quote. But I'm just saying, you know, if you want for you, love is to want for the one you love. That's why marriages have so much trouble. Because some dummy said, well, it's 50-50. It's never been 50-50. It's 100-100. Amen. For my wife, I've got to want everything that could possibly make her happy. That's what I have to want. She wants for me everything that could possibly make me happy. I mean, that's how you love somebody. Jesus hanging on the cross, hey, He knew what would save us. He had to die. That's what would save us. Nothing else would have worked. He couldn't have just halfway done it, folks. He had to die on that cross. He knew that would save us. Now that's love. Anytime. First time the whip lashed across His back and peeled the flesh from it, first time He could have said, stop! And the earth would stop spinning. Do you understand? We're talking about God here. But He knew. He knew what we needed. For God so loved the world. And now, He says, would you love me? Would you love me? Serve. Serve. Choose to serve. Completely surrender. And that brings us to verse 6. The master shall bring him unto the judges. And there they are. They're having a regular ceremony. He shall also bring him to the door. And then it says, we're under the doorpost. Because they're going to get right by that doorpost. They're going to stick that all on the ear. And they're going to take an object like a hammer and hit that and put a hole in that guy's ear. And that meant he shall serve him forever. Completely surrender. A couple of verses will be done. Psalms 40. Good passage. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Psalms 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now watch what it says. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. So I can bring him a sacrifice, I can bring him an offering, and certainly in the Old Testament time, that was okay. That's not what he was after. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. That's not what he's looking for. Look, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. I come. Okay? I sent you a lamb. I sent you a turtle dove. I sent you a sacrifice. I gave you that. I gave you some sacrifice. But he said, now he says, my ear has been open. He says, I come. I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Amen. I delight to do thy will. Boy, how many folks do you talk to? They go to church and they're religious and oh yeah, we have to go to church. Oh yeah, we have to go to mass. Oh yeah, we have to go to this. Oh, they're having another thing we have to go to. Yeah. How different is it when we say, I delight to do thy will. I love it, God. If I can work nursery, I love it, God. If I can run on a be on a bus route, I love it, God. Let me mow the grass, God. Let me clean out the toilets. Let me fix the plumbing. Let me do whatever I can do, God. I'll run the sweeper. I'll use the dust mop. I'll clean the floors. I just want to serve you, God. And God says, that's what I'm looking for right there. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not telling you don't put the money in the plate. We need it. But it doesn't mean as much to him as you saying here, I come, God. I come. By the way, and I just turned my page and I made even a note said, don't turn your page. Back to Psalm chapter 40 again. You're probably still there. I got to go back there. Because he says all of this right after. Notice verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Inclined unto me, that means he leans towards you. That's God. I'm not talking about a priest here. I'm not talking about a preacher here. I'm talking about God inclined. He leaned towards you and heard my cry. Watch what he did. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And establish my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And that's when he says, you know what? I'm starting to get it, God. I'm starting to figure it out, God. I'm starting to hear it with my ears, God. I come. I come. I come. Have you come to God and said, God, here I am. I want to be your servant, and I want to do it because I love you. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. It's a privilege to serve God. Pierced at the door, and the doorpost where the door was. And I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 16:9. Look at it real quick. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Not an accident that we're at the door here. 1 Corinthians 16:9. The Bible says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries, but there's a great door. You say, God, I'll serve you. I want to give you my life. I just want to serve you. I want to do it. I desire to do it. And God says, you know what? It's a great opportunity for you. There's a great door open for you. You mean to work nursery? Great door open to work nursery. You understand that one of these days we're going to be at a judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to be at a marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's going to be rewards given. There's going to be crowns given. It's going to be a great time. And it's not just a time to honor the preachers. It's time to honor everybody that's a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And nursery workers are going to be some of the first people there. Toilet scrubbers are going to be some of the first people there. And God says, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. It's a privilege to serve God. And there's great opportunity. And you know, I think also about the door. And I think about that door goes in somewhere. And the servant has access to everything the master has. Isn't that good? You know, wow, I get to use the master's tools. Yeah, I get to be with the master. And he's going to yoke up with me. But also, as I think about the door, I think about you're out in the open. I'm not ashamed. I get to serve God. It is a privilege to serve God. 1 Samuel 7, we're right here, almost there at the end. If you look intelligent for the next couple minutes, we're going to be all right. 1 Samuel 7 and verse 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. Serve him only. Amen. No man can serve two masters, the Bible says. Some of you flirt with that all the time. It's a constant thing. You know, well, when I'm at church, I'm going to serve God, but when I get away, I'm going to serve the devil. You know, you are lukewarm, the Bible says. Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Serve him only. That doesn't mean we don't mess up. Servants messed up. Doesn't mean that sometimes we don't make mistakes. We make mistakes. But again, it's just a matter of our choice. It's a matter of our choice. I like the illustration. Woman was in a very, very miserable marriage. I mean, it was terrible. Her husband griped, complained about everything that she did. I mean, she could not do anything right. And when she was around her family and friends, she would complain about how terrible it was, and everything she did was wrong, and it was just miserable. Well, pretty soon he died of a heart attack, and after several years she remarried. And her family visited one day, and they were there and watching her work, and they looked at her, and she was doing all these chores, and they said, "Boy, you just seem so happy." She said, you're doing all the same work that you used to do when you were so miserable. She said, you know, she said, then I did it because I had to. Now I do it because I love him. There's no replacement for a servant who is a servant by choice. That's what God's looking for. Whom shall I send? Here am I. Send me. Samuel. Samuel. Speak, Lord. Thy servant hears. That's what he's looking for. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who would say, preacher, I'm not even saved. You talked about being saved. You talked about knowing Jesus as Savior. I have never trusted Jesus and him alone as my Savior. I've never done that. Never made that decision. Please pray for me. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come and get you. But you'd be honest and say, I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Just slip up your hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? Anyone at all? Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart as a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But God has spoken to my heart as a Christian. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Amen. Many hands. Thank you. God bless you. Father, help us during the invitation to do what you want us to do. And Lord, I know that you do not require us to have our ears bored through. But Father, I do know this. You'd like to see our hearts surrender to you. And I pray we would have a love for you that would just be willing to do anything. Bless now the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Which one? 315. Take my life and let it be. God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. Just come. Right on the first verse, you come.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, always only for my King.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue. God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate, just come. If God's spoken to your heart, if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die, please, please, please do not leave here without making sure. We have folks that will show you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven. Nobody should leave here without knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Amen. You ever find yourself saying, you know, my heart's just not in this thing, and it's some service for the Lord. Here's what needs to be checked: your love for the Lord, because it's not the thing. We do a lot, you know, serving God. I've done a lot of very unpleasant things and whistled while I did it. But if my heart's not in it, then my heart's not right between me and Him. And that's really what we need to work on. What a blessing. Good to have many come forward. All right, tonight we will have our ensemble practice, I believe, at 4:30. And then no 4th through 6th grade choir. They will not be practicing today. But everybody else practices at 5. And then our prayer times also at 5. Teens at 5. Church service tonight, 6 o'clock. So we look forward to seeing you. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we are truly thankful for what you did for us, that you loved us so much that you gave your Son to die in our place and to pay our penalty for our sin. Father, may we reciprocate that love in our own hearts and our own lives, daily on a personal basis with a willingness to serve you in every aspect of life. Father, go with us. May your Holy Spirit empower us to demonstrate that love to those around us, by sharing Christ and sharing our love for you and letting it show in every place that we go. Guide us and direct us. Gather us again together safely this evening, we pray in Jesus' name.